Grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains all things. Amen. Jacqueline was 13 years old. She'd grown up in a household that was very religious. God seemed ever present right there and very real to most of her family. And in fact, they had shaped their lives around church and religion and prayer. They were one of those families who not only prayed at mealtime, but at other times as well. She grew up with her parents reading scripture every evening together. I met her in confirmation. And she said to me one day, "I'm just not good enough." And I said, "Well, what do you mean? You're not good enough." And she says, "I don't know if I believe like my parents believe." It's almost as if she felt as if she had gone in her creative world in that wonderful picture where they hand out intelligence and stamina and good looks, and when she had gotten to the faith line, she had skipped it. She felt different from her family, and it troubled her. As she approached her day of confirmation, which she would profess her faith, she was worried that the credo statement which she had written would reveal for the first time to her parents that she saw God at best in a different way, and at worst, not at all. Hers is a fish and loaf story. She really believed that she did not have enough faith. As if one started one's life with an empty glass and somehow over time it was filled up by some magical means. And that one day, if she was just good enough and right enough and believed hard enough, she too would be worthy, as she saw worthiness in her parents. We sat one afternoon and we talked. It was during my internship. And I said, "Tell me what you do believe." She said, "I don't see God with the same kind of physical, present reality that my parents see. It's almost as if they could reach out and touch God on the shoulder every day." What do you see when you reach out? What do you feel? She says, "I don't know. I just don't know." I said, "I've seen you pray, though." She says, "Yes." And I said, "I've seen you worship." And she says, "Yes." "Well, what is it that you worship when you come on Sunday morning?" She says, "I'm not sure. But I know that whatever it is must love me." We sat for a while. And I said, "It sounds to me like your faith is present in sufficient grace for you." Too often when we look at faith and stuff, we compare ourselves to someone else. And we say, if only I could be like so-and-so, then I would have real faith. If only I was like my grandmother, who just saw God in everything. Or like my friend, who is so excited about the way the world is. We're trained from a very early age to compare ourselves to others. But abundance maybe shouldn't be seen that way. One day when Jesus was on the hill and after a long, long day of preaching, he had, it says, this incredible word. This incredible word. It says he had compassion for them. Now, we've spent most of our time on this particular lesson looking mostly at the miracle. Back in the 19th century, and early in the early 20th century, there was a great deal written because we felt the need to figure out how the miracle happened. So there were volumes written about this particular text. And some people said, well, obviously, it was not a miracle. What happened was, it turned out everyone had actually brought bread and fish with them in little sacks that they had under their tunics. And so what happened was they all shared with one another. Well, maybe. Others, apparently, Bruce, thought there was a Costco nearby and someone did a quick Costco run and picked up vegetable trays. The real miracle of the text is Jesus is there with those people and he pours out compassion. Love that feels what they feel. And suddenly what seemed like scarcity became abundance. Even the disciples are looking at it from a very practical point of view. Jesus, we have a whole lot of people to feed. We have just a few loaves of bread and a couple of fish. What should we do? What should we do? And Jesus simply says, bring them to me. And he had the people sit down on the grass, and he took five loaves and two fishes, and everyone was fed. And all of this happens right after Jesus learns of the death of his friend. And ridden with his own grief, he has compassion on them. It's weird. We live today in a society that sees things in some ways very much like the disciples. We're worried about whether we have enough. We live in a society that sees abundance, a huge amount of abundance, and yet, or that has a great amount of abundance, and yet sees scarcity. There's not enough, we say over and over again. And then in our society, in some parts of our society, where we see scarcity, poverty, where that exists, our society sees more coming. It's like this young girl that I met so many years ago. Some would look at her and say, you have a poverty of faith, and it must be because of your moral shortcoming. Something is wrong with you that you do not see God in the same way as your parents. There's a strain in our economic world right now that sees people who are poor and wonders what they have done wrong. That they are lazy and undeserving. And at the same time, at the top of our economic scale, we see people living in incredible wealth who lay claim to more and more. and more. I wonder where their compassion is in that world. In the story that comes to us in the gospel today, Jesus sees the world differently and calls us to see the world differently. Where the disciples see only 5 loaves and 2 fish, Jesus sees a feast and blesses it and brings it to them, and the disciples pass it out, and they break the loaves and they break the fish, and all eat and are filled. There is enough. Jesus sees enough. In the same way, Jesus sees enough in us and in Jacqueline. This poor young girl who thought that her faith was insufficient for grace. But I am convinced that Jesus would have compassion on her and say, "You are my beloved child. You are a person of great and abundant faith, for you know you are loved." And in the same way, God looks upon our world and our community and sees not scarcity, but abundance of sufficiency to feed everyone. That there is food and rice and bread and meat and love and joy and hope abounding in all of the world in more abundance than we can even imagine. But will we see it? Will we see the world through God's eyes? Can we see with eyes of faith? With the eyes of Christ's compassion? For if there is a miracle at all, that is where it begins. In this compassionate Christ, who calls all of God's people together and sits us down on the grass and feeds us that we might feed the world. And that is the real miracle that cannot be explained. The miracle of a Jesus who has compassion on those who are hungry and those who are full, those who are lost and those who are found. This Christ who has compassion that reaches even into our own inadequacies and into Jacqueline's life. In the end, this young lady stood up and she read her confession paper. And in it she proclaimed that while she did not feel about God the same way that her parents felt, she knew that she was in God's grace. And for her, that would be enough. That would be abundance. Amen.